If you don't mind, if you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 26. And are there any questions before we preach? Okay, so this is just a little prophetic unction. It's a little phrase. And you can read the whole of Genesis chapter 26, but it starts, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while and I'll be with you and I will bless you.'" For time's sake, let's go to verse 19. "Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, 'The water is ours.' So he named the well Esek." And if you look down at the bottom there, you'll see Esek means dispute, because they disputed with him. "Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna," which means opposition. "He moved on from there." Say that with me. I feel that's like a phrase that we need to adopt as a leadership team, as a church. He just moved on from there. It's just like he moved on from there. He moved on from there. I had to speak to one of my family today and I said, it's time to just move on. Because every time we speak, we talk about the same old story and the same old issues and the same old stuff. It's just like, let's move on. You got to get on with it. So there's this scripture, if we had time to expound it, it starts in famine and it ends with the water bursting out of the ground. And so it's an incredible journey of just moving on and moving into a watered land, into the purpose of God. And if we're not growing and if we're not moving, we're dying. Simple. If your marriage is not growing, it's dying. If your parenting is not growing, it's dying. If your theology is not growing, it's dying. You just got to move on. If your songwriting is not growing, it's dying. And I think there's a challenge inside of us just to move on. Yeah? So he moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. And he named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in this land." And I believe God has given us room in 3CI and I believe we're flourishing. But it's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous place. Because you can actually stop growing. Because you can camp at that well and just enjoy the fresh water. And then it says, from there, he went up to Bathsheba. From there, he moved on as well. And so you've got to just make sure we keep moving. And I want to just share four things, very, very simply, of where I believe we need to move from and where we need to move to. And please don't get offended by this. And I will drop it in. And if it's from God, it'll take root. If it's not from God, it'll disappear. But I look across the church in the city and I'm deeply distressed by the aging population of the church. And we have to move from old to young. That doesn't mean the old have to move. It just means we have to move from old to young. And I was in a meeting yesterday when a man was preaching and he said an incredible thing. He did a whole survey of Peter being married and John when he died. He did a whole survey and he said, in all probability, when Jesus called the disciples, they were between the age of 15 and 18. They were between 15 and 18. How many of you are younger than 25 in this room? How many of you are younger than 20? Not one. And so if we don't make a concerted effort to bring the next, so our resources, our time, our praxis, if we do not make a concerted effort to bring the next group of young people through and give them opportunities to preach and to lead and to facilitate the life of God, we too will stop moving and this church will just join all other churches around the world. And I think we're already there of just an aging population. And I think it's a challenge for all of us. You see, what we think is that the older we get, the more qualified we become, the less qualified we think other people are. And the man made an incredible thing. He said, Jesus draws straight lines with crooked sticks. And if you look when God released the kings, they were 8 years old, they were 11 years old, they were 7 years old. And God released these kings. And I think this church, friends, is not called to be a big church. This church is called to be a prophetic church. And that doesn't mean the old are eliminated. I just feel like we have to make sure that we're investing in the young. Cool? The second thing, I think we have to move from the conservative to the wild. From the conservative to the wild. And I think it comes in two ways. The application of the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel. The application of the gospel means as old as you get, you have to keep applying the gospel into all circumstances all the time for as long as you're alive. 70 times 70 times 70 times 70. And when you get older, it becomes harder and harder to apply the gospel because you pick up more and more baggage. And we've got to keep applying the gospel and we've got to keep proclaiming the gospel. I supernaturally, I believe, met a man in Cape Town who runs Alpha South Africa. I've never done Alpha Course. I've never been a fan of Alpha Course. I've seen the results of Alpha Course. But I felt like I met him as God reminding us, actually, the church exists to also get people saved. I've come to seek and save the lost. And we were not just to manage the growth of this church through church transfer. We are to see people saved. And there's got to be a wildness that comes back over us, guys. And I include in worship. We are not meant to be a conservative, comfortable culture that ministers to conservative people. We are meant to display the radicalness of God's power. And we have to move on. And be challenged by that, friends. Be challenged by that. But I think we're starting to appeal to a conservative group of people that is affecting the call of God upon our lives. I'm talking about wild, free, extravagant worship. Yeah? I'm not talking about weird, and I'm not talking about flesh. I'm talking about wild. And we've got to truly ask ourselves, have we settled down? And do we need to move on again to the next thing? Because I think what's happening is that we're getting a reputation in the city, and if we have to start protecting that reputation, we're going to lose the call of God in our lives. We are not here to defend a reputation, and we're not here to so-called look Christianly successful. We're here to raise and release men into the call of God. And I'm talking about wild men. And woman. Amen? The third thing, friends, is we have to move from the pastoral to the apostolic. I'm deeply concerned by the amount of pastoral care that is taking place in the church and actually bogging some of you guys down. And I'm not saying we mustn't be pastoral. But one of my friends drew an incredible picture. He said, as long as the apes are in charge of the church, it grows. Apes being apostles, prophets, and evangelists. The apes. He says, as long as the apes are in charge, the church grows. He says, the moment that pastor teachers take over the church, it starts to plateau and eventually dies. My problem is I'm a pastor teacher. And so too much pastoring and teaching actually makes the church really safe, really secure, draws lots of broken people that get looked after, but the church starts to plateau. And we have to make sure in our hearts that we are apostolic. You see, the church is built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, not on the foundations of the pastors and teachers. It's built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets. So inside of the foundation of the church has got to be an apostolic prophetic motion, which is sending, going, declaring, proclaiming. That's the motion. And actually, friends, what happens, it's an army that's got a hospital attached, not a hospital, that sometimes goes to war. So it's a very strong prophetic declaration, but I think we just have to give this thing serious attention. God is calling us as a leadership team to move on into the next purpose of God. And prophetic's not easy, and prophetic's not comfortable, and prophetic's not always cushy, and it's like they don't really care. No, apostolic prophetic, Paul cared. He said, I weep for you. I shed my blood for you. He said, I pour out my life for you, my tears for you. So, but apostolic prophetic has got a much bigger picture in mind. So we take people on a journey. I think people get healed when they go to 48 people signed up for Mozambique now. 48 people. I think it's better than spending 10 hours of counseling with somebody, put them on a trip to Mozambique, and we'll see them healed. Get them out of their world, guys. Get them out of their center. And actually, instead of just get people sharing and get them into a parking team and just get them out there instead of the center of their own worlds. And whenever Jesus called, he kept walking and he took. Peter could have said, but what about this and what about that and what about this thing? He just kept walking. You see, friends, to drive to Alberton every day is like, it's apostolic. It's apostolic. It's uncomfortable. It's sacrificial. But he's going to release something into his home group that is going to be absolutely sustainable for the forward momentum of the church. Like, oh, Shane Hilton, you must be really tired on Tuesday. Take the night off. I think it's starting to creep into our thinking. And finally, short preach tonight. Move from Rehoboth to Bathsheba. From Rehoboth to Bathsheba. Rehoboth is a place of flourishing. Bathsheba is the place of covenant. It's time for people to move from the flourishing of 3CR to the purposes of God over your life. And I think it's time for some of you to move on. To plant churches, start churches, to move countries, to move cities, and to trust God for a new frontier. Because I don't believe God has called us to be, God is going to grow us. But actually, that's not the prophetic unction of God over our lives. Over our lives is multiplication. And actually, sometimes it's too comfortable to leave a place that is doing well. And you will stop the call of God over your life. And I think you've just got to ask a simple question. Lord, what are you moving me on to? And if God says nothing, then you stay. But I don't want us to settle down into anything short of Bathsheba, which is the promise of God over our lives. Amen? And so, friends, just simply this. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. And we can't let a big body dictate to us what the call of God is in our lives. We have to dictate to them what God has called us to. And for that to happen, we've got to stay wild, we've got to stay free, and we've got to stay fresh. We've got to keep growing in our theology. We've got to keep growing in our expressions with God. We've got to keep growing in our worship. We've got to keep growing in our sacrifice. Because before we know it, we will lose the things that our fathers fought for. See, what it says here, it says, go and unplug the wells that our fathers dug. And so our fathers dug some wells that I think are getting blocked up very quickly through Comfort, Pretoria, East, Christian culture. And what we'll do is we'll sink this thing in old age, middle class, gray Christianity. And I feel the Spirit of God is upon us to act now and to act decisively. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't want to waste my time, God. I don't want to waste my time. What the world says is successful, Lord God, is not the measurement you place upon a church. You put a candlestick in place and you measure it according to the call that you've placed upon it, Lord God. This church was birthed by a surfer leaving the beach to plant into a culture that he had never seen before. Father, let us never lose that, Lord God. Let us not become so comfortable with the culture of Pretoria that we cannot be like a firebrand, a prophetic picture of what is to come, Lord. When last did we see people break out of their comfort zones, out of their chairs, Lord, stand up, run around, shout and scream, Lord God? But the application of the gospel into extreme situations, ongoingly, extendingly, Father God. The manifestations of the gifts, God. The great gifts of creativity, gifts of service, gifts of spirit, gifts of healing, Father. When last did we see those just breaking out, Lord God? It's our gift of tongues, God. There are these locked up gifts inside of men's lives, Lord, and women's lives, and teenagers' lives, God. I pray there would be a release over this church, over this leadership team. There would be a breaking. There would be a sealing that cracks, oh God. There would be an expectation, Lord, of the next season, Lord God, of the declaration of the purposes of God over the lives of men and women. Father God, I pray, mighty God, you would move us on. I pray, Lord, we would never settle for a place of Rehoboth, a flourishing place where you water us. But, Lord, that we would walk into the purposes of your covenant. You've designed us, Lord, the Bible says, you knit us together in our mother's wombs, Father. For such a time as this, to declare to this city, Lord God, the radical purposes of God over people's lives. I pray, mighty God, we'll see teenagers preaching in this pulpit. Preaching, Lord God, with an understanding of theology, Father God. Trained, those disciples trained by rabbis, Lord God. Peter standing up, probably a young 20-year-old man standing up in front of 3,000 people and declaring the grace of God. Oh, Father, what about this time next year, Father? I pray, what about this time next year? We see a teenager standing up in our pulpit, Father. What about that, Father? I pray, mighty God, if we've settled down, that you would move us on. You would move us on, Father. If we have become conservative in our application, in our thinking, I pray, mighty God, you would move us on. You'd move us on. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please carefully consider this word. Please carefully consider it and see if we can respond to it. If it's not from God, it will go. But if it is from God, I believe we'll see some changes in our church. Amen. I'm not going to ask for feedback if you don't mind. Just receive this word and let's see what we can do with it.